is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Super Soul Solutions with Merrily Milmo. Merrily is an avid researcher with over 4 decades of intuitive healing and related experience. Here, she explores many intriguing, unknown, and lesser-known topics on her Super Soul Solutions show. Get ready for the next adventure. Here's Merrily now.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the first part of a 6-part brand new series with Elena Denon entitled The Primer on 3rd to 4th/5th Dimensional Relationships. Welcome in Your Destiny. And the subtitle, From Down and Dirty 3D to 4th to 5th Dimensional Sex and Intimacy Part 1. Now, my understanding is that Terra, which again is the galactic name for Earth, herself is moving right now from 3rd to 4th dimension. And of course, so are we along with her. I have a feeling that we will transition through 4th relatively quickly and stabilize into 5th dimension. We'll see what Elena has to say about that. This means our consciousness, our free will intent, and our dedication to self-reflective inner growth will continue to evolve beyond third dimensional relationship concepts. And the set of beliefs and premises that are operating in 3D reality evidently, from what I understand, cannot be sustained in the next 4th dimension reality. And you most likely may be sensing this already, right? I know many people are shifting some of their present relationships and even the way they currently live and quitting jobs that do not satisfy their soul enough. So this new series with Elena is so expansive and deep that it will be divided into 6 back-to-back shows, and this will allow you an opportunity to process, contemplate, and integrate 3 new principles that we will be discussing in each show, covering a total of 18 4th to 5th dimensional concept expanders that are necessary to understand and integrate as we are transitioning from a 3rd dimensional reality to 4th dimensional realities if we want to have a smoother time of it. I always like to be prepared, and my ego often will need a little preparation when it goes into its control freak mode. So, of course, if you do not wish to uplift consciousness from your 3rd dimensional life that we've played out for several thousand years, you don't have to. There's no pressure, and there is no right or wrong, and it's your choice and free will as always. So in each show, I will first describe our current 3rd dimensional relationship concepts, and then I will share the 4th dimensional new concepts that I do not get credit for. I synthesize these new concepts and condense them from Lisa Royal's work, who channeled her higher 4th dimension Palladian self named Sasha. And I will have a picture of Sasha on the YouTube. And this is, Sasha kind of elaborates really well the characteristics of 3rd and 4th dimensional reality and how that impacts our views of sex, intimacy, ourselves, and relationships. So she also tends to use the 4th density term interchangeably with 4th dimension, so please do not get confused. I will be as consistent as I can and use the term 4th dimension. And for those, of course, who want to distinguish the difference, Elaine has already done a great video on densities versus dimensions, so make sure and check that out. So 4th dimensional Palladian, Sasha, advises that each different dimension comes with its own vibrational and kind of quotes package deal end of quotes, if you will. So that means that our relationships will usually function with most of the characteristics and principles we have been conditioned to in third dimension version and the fourth dimensional version. Both dimensions are inherently very different. So as we are progressing and all of us are raising our frequencies, some people may feel a little uncomfortable or destabilized and have symptoms such as vertigo, because this moving back and forth, third and fourth, and learning to stabilize on fourth and fifth can kind of feel like you're tap dancing on Jell-O sometimes. So as soon as I share the teachings of Sasha's on how relationships work in both third and fourth, I will invite Elena to share her vast experience and knowledge of each concept, and to her delight. So as much as she wants, she can even disagree, whatever. So some of these changes in how we look at relationships may be a bit controversial. I know one or two were for me, for our third dimensional ego. So this specific introduction hopefully will allow all of us and our ego and our old belief concepts that were often based in fear and control some time to adjust and have a chance to mentally and emotionally expand a bit. Please note for my part, again, that Lisa Royal gets full credit for this information that I am sharing with you and have synthesized from 168 audio teachings as well as articles and her books. And the first book was called Prism of Lyra. And the info in that book, I did a four-part YouTube series called Earth Game Mastery about the existential wounds that we humans inherited from six key ancestral ET species. Lisa also co-authored a book called Future Sex, providing very provocative and specific sexual questions addressed to five species. A lighthearted, very evolved species that we know of as dolphins just had to jump in and had this to say when asked about sexual relationships among them. Translated means, hi, sex is fun, and we like to have fun as often as possible. Five times a day is good, with males and females. Climax is not play in. Bye for now. So that was the dolphins' quick sharing. And sometime I will share with you my X-rated personal adventures I had with dolphins. So if any of you are interested in more of her work, Lisa Royal's website is Lisa Royal, LYSSAROYAL.net. So Elena, I welcome you back. And Elena, of course, has already done an excellent YouTube on many species covered in her books and sexual and mating rituals, et cetera. So welcome back, Elena.
Hi, Mary Lee. Thank you for having me again. This is a wonderful subject.
It's a hot one, huh?
Oh, it's a hot one.
Okay, so if you don't mind, let me start by comparing and contrasting the two different dimensional themes between third dimension and fourth dimension that can be generalized in one word. So we're going to start out simple. So third dimension, again, according to Sasha, can be characterized by separation, the word separation in all its aspects. Fourth dimension involves us exploring the experience of integration, or as Elena, I know, will say, reintegration in all its aspects, because the natural flow in the universe is, of course, towards integration. So Lisa states, and I'm going to quote her here because I don't want to get her information incorrect, even though the concept of separation is an illusion, it has been explored thoroughly in third dimension. The idea of separation has been necessary in 3D to keep you in the 3D experience. 3D can look like this. One, separation from source or God when consciousness goes through its fragmentation and experiences. Two, loneliness and feeling separate from each other. And three, deeply separating from aspects of yourself within yourself. In other words, looking outward for love and satisfaction. And as far as I'm concerned, most of us have earned a PhD in those three explorations. So here's the thing to remember that she wanted to emphasize based on the law of resonance. The density laws or premises that you have experienced in 3D are based on the overarching theme of separation and can no longer operate successfully in mid, fourth to high fourth dimension. Sasa suggests strongly that if you attempt to carry the old premises and beliefs of separation into the new 4D reality and refuse to let them go out of fear, stubbornness, or lack of inner self-reflection and healing, she said you can literally tear yourself apart emotionally because fourth dimensional vibrations cannot sustain on separation. So in order to sustain a 4D reality, one must be in integrity vibrationally with it. So the fourth dimensional reality does not sustain the illusory concept of separation. It is all about returning to integration or reintegration, where one feels and acknowledges that everything and everyone are all connected. And I know that Elena's listeners and my listeners are well on their way to that, or you wouldn't even be interested in these topics. The oneness principle, while still maintaining your uniqueness, you still have a body in fourth dimension, yet feeling the separation is not as deep, for sure, as we experience in third dimension. And you also begin remembering and begin the process of reintegration. So with that, Elena, I want to ask you your take on all of this so far. And does this conceptual and vibrational difference between third and fourth have any resonation with you and your experiences?
Hi, Mary Lee. So that's very interesting. So first, I had difficulty to swap the term dimension for density in my head because the extraterrestrials call the different densities of matter densities, and for them, dimensions are parallel universes with different scales of densities. So I'm trying to think in the term of density here, which I think this person is talking about. In the fourth density, what I know I've experienced is my interaction with beings from the fourth density, fifth, sixth, seventh, and one was nine. So fourth density, I have a lot of interactions, especially here in Ireland where I live, because we have the fairy realm with the she and the elves and the fairies. They live on the fourth density, and they experience totally the separation because they still are looking for mates, you know, and having love affairs like we do in the 3D. They are still very close to our way of thinking, of experiencing love relationships. In the fifth density, then it's going to depend, I suppose, on the species. In the fifth density, I've experienced interactions with humanoid beings off-world, not from Earth. So you still experience the separation in these the few humanoid races I've met, where you're still going to look for a mate and have a longing, missing someone. But at that stage, in the fifth density, you start to be able to experience the merging of the souls when sharing love. We say on Earth, making love, but they don't use this concept of making. It's very material. They share love, the flow. And then after starting at the fifth density, you start to experience something that you cannot experience in a denser state of matter. It's the merging, the soul consciousness merging, and that's how it becomes interesting.
That's really fascinating. Yeah, she does use the term density, so I wasn't, most of the time, so I wasn't clear how that was used. So Would you agree that we're kind of, a lot of us are moving through fourth, what should we say, dimension? Density?
Like how? Yes,
fourth density. Yes. Okay, we're moving through fourth density, and then it feels like we might do fourth density really quickly and then stabilize at fifth. What do you think relatively about that?
Well, as I have been explained, the fourth density where we are moving now, we are not yet in it, but we are process. It's a very short octave. Imagine all the densities. Well, a dimension is a universe, and each universe has its scale of different densities of matter. So imagine each density is an octave on the keyboard of this universe, this dimension, dimensional plane. So you have octaves that are shorter than others. And the fourth density is a very short one. It's a very intermediate between 3 and 5. So as we are moving to this lighter state of matter, we won't take as much time to shift to the next one. It's a short time. We'll be in the fifth density quite shortly after, keeping on, you know, changing our density between the atoms of matter of our bodies.
That is so great. And that is what I was told too. And so before continuing, I would like to apologize that it was probably my mistake between dimension and density. So we are going to speak of densities because I'm sure that's what Lisa Royal was referring to and what most of her notes are. So thank you so much for that clarification, Elena. So
it's so easy sorry to interrupt you. I just want to precise that it is so easy to mix the two terms.
Oh, you're just trying to make me feel better. Okay, so that is beautiful. That gives us a lot of clarity. So in third density, the second of three relationship principles that we're going to explore today, that third density concept, according to Sasha, that is often explored is secrecy. And secrecy means withholding information from your partner, from yourself. This secrecy for most has been a big part of the third dimension relationship dynamics. And of course, we'll never really allow your partner, right, to know who you are. Sasha relates something about secrecy that I hadn't really thought about in this particular way. And she said, secrecy does not just operate of the, let me repeat this. Secrecy does not just operate on the level of your interactions with others. Secrecy keeps you separated from the greater portion of yourself as well. I thought that was really well said. And, you know, I just did a little experiment about 35 years ago with my bodywork clients because I was addressing any fears I had and wanted to confront them. And so with most of the female clients I had, I knew right away that their biggest fear would be to find out that their husband was cheating on them. And so I was testing them because I wanted to see where they were in their fear and their control and all of that. And I told them, I said, in order for us to be a telepathic society, we can't have hiding from one another or secrets. I mean, you still could be private, but, you know, and if you are giving into your fear, because mostly what these women said to me is I said, well, would you want to know the truth if your husband was cheating on you? And 98% said no. That to me, even though I was still young, was so profound that they would rather protect their ego and whatever else and their judgments than to know the truth. So I thought, oh my God, we've still got a long way to go in our own selves to be able to go, we would like the truth as long as there's no maliciousness, no matter what, you know? So that's how I feel about that. How do you feel, Elena?
Yes, you need, that's extremely interesting. When we are in 3D, of course, we experience secrecy because we experience separation. and separation because we are not connected anymore in consciousness with our partner. Well, it depends if it's just a human partner or if it's a twin flame. That's two different levels. But still, even if it's a twin flame, we're still separated. We experience separation. There is no telepathy, no merging of minds or of heart. So it's very confusing, and I totally agree of this secrecy. But I would, one of the main basic principles, honesty and transparency and flow. Anyway, if you cheat on someone, why are you with this person? It's not the right one. You know what I mean?
Yes, and you just so nailed what Sasha also agrees with, is that the fourth density concept, right, rather than secrecy, is how to integrate that secrecy concept is through honesty and openness, just what you said. So, like fourth density requires honesty, which is non-secrecy, at all costs, according to Sasha. She said, if you see your partner doing something that is sabotaging to themselves or their relationships, you kind of need to speak that observation instead of withholding it because you think it's going to hurt the person's feelings or continue to have control issues in that relationship. If there's not 100% honesty, there cannot be a continuation of that relationship in the fourth density model. She said it is that crucial. So when we speak of honesty, we're not always talking about honesty with the self, because sometimes many of us keep things from ourselves, like trauma, to feel safe. But in fourth density reality, she was kind of saying it's very difficult to keep things from yourself. For instance, you may wake up one morning and suddenly realize your relationship no longer serves you, and that has to be acknowledged and recognized for the flow of your evolution to continue. So these changes can happen slowly, and she comforts us by saying for most of us it will happen naturally and smoothly. So as we transition more into fourth and fifth density, one of the things also is we will not feel the pain of loss in any situation or in any relationship as much. And she said it's one of the signposts that you will feel lost, but you'll move through it and it won't devastate you. And I remember, if I may ask you this, on one of your YouTubes, you shared briefly an amazing teaching that Thorhan gave you when you had lost your dearest friend, Ned, your cat, and he gave you a teaching on loss. Would you like to share that? Is that okay?
Yes. Yes, it's okay. He said to me in very simple words that when you love someone that passes on the other realm, you feel pain, the pain of the separation. What about feeling the love that binds you instead? Because if you feel pain of the separation, you will sever the link heart to heart and soul to soul with this being, which is on the other side, and both will suffer. You will activate the vibration of pain. What about remembering the love that binds you heart to heart and just embrace it and think about this departed being with love, feeling the link of love heart to heart, and then you will feel the link is not severed. You still are in contact with this person or this being. Feel, honor the bond of love instead of the pain, link of pain. Don't link pain. It's, you know, that was such an amazing teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And as he said that, I stopped suffering from this loss. And that taught me such a great lesson. You know?
And then what happened right when you shifted your frequency about that? Because, again, we're all human. We all go through these frequencies. And I know the fifth-dimensional Palladians are famous for feeling the feeling and then transforming it and raising the frequency. So you obviously did that in that moment. And then what happened regarding Ned?
Well, the link, yes, he came back. Then he was able to come back in spirit form, and he comes back very often. And then, you know, he moved on. I set him free. I set him free because the pain retains them at the lower frequency level. I set him free, and then he comes back whenever he feels he wants to say hi, because because we are in this frequency of love now. That was always there, but I had forgotten. I allowed pain to take over when the moment he passed, and that's normal. You need to grieve, but must not be stay the final vibration. You need to switch back into the love that binds you.
That's such a good reminder, because if we can remind ourselves and make a choice based on, not based on the separation or the 3D model, right? Which is usually about control, fear of loss, wanting to be saved or manipulating or, you know, all that stuff. It's amazing how quickly we can shift if we stop those stories and kind of reorient, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. I made a video about it on my YouTube channel, and it's called Love is the Missing Link. It's a bit of a word game. Love is the Missing Link. And it helps so many people who lost their pet or even humans. I advise people to watch it. The emotion
was
so
much
when I finished. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I do know grief kind of is a block, you know, to really have smooth communication. Thank you so much for that. It just touches me deeply because most of us love animals, right? So there are extended, I call them fur people. they call me a furless cat. So I guess it's mutual. Okay. So let's talk about the third relationship, relationship conceptual shift that we're going to look at today. And this one to me was a little bit confrontational, and I've worked with it for several years. And according to Sasha, she said the third density is fear-based monogamy required. And she said it kind of looks like this. Through my monogamous relationship, I am separated from the vulnerability of having to deal with other relationships so I can feel safe, secure, and special. And the fourth density concept is, still the third density concept would be, if you're really, you know, controlling about it, is you must be monogamous or I will leave you. The fourth density concept is relationships by choice, not fear or separation programming. So examples of that would be allowing different kinds of relationships to be fluid, and maybe you'd start off like with monogamy by choice, and maybe since everyone lives hundreds of years, maybe you'd shift to polygamy by choice, and maybe you'd shift to polyfidelity by choice. But it's having that fluidity because of your own security of who you are and the higher consciousness of love, and not having huge amounts of prejudice about that. She reminds us that there is no inherent wrong or right in any type of relationship, that all choices are inherently neutral. And she said the important consideration she really wanted to reiterate is the fluid, non-judgmental relationships. So if one chooses monogamy, this does not mean that you need, this is interesting, this does not mean that you need or expect your partner to also choose monogamy. And you certainly do not need the government's permission for a marriage license. So in other words, she says you begin to feel so comfortable and secure and self-loving that what you're responsible for is your own truth and integrity of your being, and that, you know, except in extreme circumstances, of course, you allow the other person their choice, and that is what love is. How do you feel about that?
Well, I would disagree, because I believe monogamy is a cultural thing. It's a Christian thing. You have many places on this planet where monogamy is not the cultural standard. It's religious. Look at the Islam. Islam, you have as many spouses as you want for a man. For instance, you have tribes in the rainforest where women, females, can have as many males as they want. And you know, so I think monogamy is just a cultural and even religious thing.
I agree with that. I agree that's programming based on the culture. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Being with someone by choice is also a cultural thing. You go in most of the third world countries, whatever the religion they embrace, you do not choose a partner by choice, by love. It's always, you know, a business, because for many reasons. So it's also choosing with who you want to be. It's cultural to me as well. And as well, when I met beings on the fourth and the fifth density, because we're talking about these specific densities, they're the same. They're more free, though, because they don't have religion. They can choose to be with someone for life, or even their twin flame, or not their twin flame, and they're happy with that. Or they can be very, you know, volatile and has many partners, or even sometimes many at the time. So I think it's cultural, to my belief.
I agree with that, and you're making some excellent points here. I also think it's survival based. So I think in third dimension, where you're still playing with money and, oh my God, I got to raise a kid, and oh my gosh, I can get pregnant from this, which will take us into another question I want to ask you. I do think that a lot of relationships have been around business, logistics, organizing, support, being able to pay the rent, fear, all those things, which I think we're going to have a lot less of in fourth and fifth density, as all those things will be more provided for. Would you agree with that?
Oh, that's a very good point. Absolutely. As I was mentioning, it is mostly in the third world countries that you have arranged weddings, you know, because you need to keep the land within the family, and the inheritance stay in the family, things like this, in the clan, the tribe. You know, it's a very tribal societies. You don't choose by love.
Right.
You know?
Right. So that's what we're, at least that's my... what I'm working towards. So, which brings up another interesting concept from a couple of a being named Akbar, who was in the League, which we talked about in another show. They were freedom fighters for Orion for thousands of years. Akbar mentioned that the only way that they learned to have control over the Orion controllers was to control their conception, which was a very fascinating idea. And so there are humans, and there are species that I have read about that learn to have conscious conception, and even can perform what some people might think of as immaculate conception on higher levels. That would definitely probably be fifth dimension up. Do you know anything about this, and what's your input about that?
The Orion Grays function on a system of a hive, so you will have a female at a high position, and sometimes it's a queen, they call it a queen, who will fertilize, give the she will be the matrix, and she will lay eggs, and society. You would need to really control the queen to do that. So then that's very skilled, and it's possible.
This, hold on just a sec. I wasn't clear. This is not about the Queen or the Rhines. This was about the humans that were the freedom fighters.
Okay, in the Orion Black League. Okay.
I'm sorry. This is about Akbar, who was a teacher in the freedom fighter movement. And as you know, something we have in common, and they, for thousands of years, were under the, you know, had to always deal with the Orion when he just subjugated him and all that. And when asked, how did you learn? They said, we have many spiritual practices that we did and kept multiple generations by ourselves. How did you learn about conscious conception? And they said, we learned it for a variety of reasons, survival out of necessity. But in truth, they said, we taught it because it was one of the few things we felt we could control rather than always feeling like we have to just fight for freedom, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm sorry if I wasn't clear about that.
Okay, so I haven't heard about that. What do you mean by conscious conception? Willingly or like immaculate conception?
Okay, so great question. What I'm sensing is several things. One is from a memory and others are just from research. What I'm sensing is, we know that in tantric lovemaking, you can have conscious non-ejaculation or ejaculation. We know that. I'm talking about where you are so in tune with your body that you basically conceive when you want to. And, of course, when there's a soul agreement for that soul agreement to come in, that's what I'm talking about. So, in other words, the whole risk of this pregnancy thing, you know, like, oh, my God, okay, so if I want to party on down and I want to, like, have sex with you, but, oh, my God, you know, whatever. There are several groups that have learned this. And then the immaculate thing is in some very advanced groups, they were able to, especially the women, create an environment in their own womb and then draw the soul into there. So there's a, I don't know if I explained it well enough. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, that, I understand now. Yes. So it must depend on the species as well. Certain species can do things, others not. I know some humanoid can decide at a certain level. It needs to be done with a twin flame when you have a same frequency of soul. You can decide if you want to bring a soul down or not for conception. You decide when you are at the higher moment in the act of love sharing. Yes, totally. I know that with certain humanoid species, they can do that. I'm not knowledgeable about all the other ones because in Orion, you know, there are so many different species. But I would find it very fascinating and possible. Everything is possible in this universe. You have no idea. Everything is possible.
Oh,
so, yes, I would
imagine.
Believe that. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, what I am talking, there are a few other species, but mostly I'm focused today on humanoid species, human and humanoid species. You know, how we are as we move through third density to fourth and fifth, kind of. Because I also was told we're going to move through fourth really quick, relatively speaking. So it's pretty exciting, actually. Now, you've brought up twin flames, and I know that people will have a lot of questions about that, and they'll be very curious about that, the subject of twin flames. So, do twin flames exist on the fourth density and third density? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just excited to answer.
No, please do. I'm glad you're excited.
It's an exciting
subject. I'm from an Irish family. We just, like, go at it with each other. So you go, girl.
Thank you. As I was saying, it's an exciting subject. So you got it. So yes, to be more serious, twin flames.
Don't be more serious.
Okay. Let's not be too serious. it's a wonderful thing. So what are the twin flames? Yeah, twin flames are on all levels, all densities in this, I think everywhere in all dimensions. What is a twin flame? It's a consciousness that becomes polarized with masculine and feminine, for instance. I know about humanoid, human twin flames. I do not know about other species twin flames who perform the act of love sometime at 4 or 6, you know. So I do not know about that. I know only about human consciousness twin flames. So they are.
Well, I imagine most of our listeners are human. So speak for that. That'd be fine.
Let's forget about the weirdos. I told you everything is possible in this universe. So human flames, it's the same. So it's a one consciousness that becomes polarized, masculine, feminine, for instance. So they are going to separate to experience. The split for an experience, a life experience, consciousness evolution. But they can do that only at a certain stage of development. So they are going to incarnate and they go in different places and they learn, they live experiences for the soul evolutionary growth. And all that time, they are suffering because they experience the lack of each other, because they are of the same frequency and they are part of the same pod, the same, you know, like when we say two peas in a pod, it's like the same concept. They are linked heart to heart and soul to soul by what we could name a quantum resonance. However, the distance, they are connected. And It's not at a biological level, as I explained once. It's at a consciousness level, and consciousness and light being level. Light being is the soul. They share the same soul frequency. That's what I said. And so they're usually male and female, because it's the normal polarity. But they can choose then to incarnate. So they will always keep the same polarity, but they can choose to incarnate in as male and male or female and female to also experience and grow from this experience. But when you will have same polarity couple incarnated and meeting each other and sharing love and doing wonderful things, they will still be polarized because the soul are polarized, just two part of the soul. So there will always be a female polarity and a male polarity. However, the gender they incarnate in too. And when they come together, when they perform the union by love, the merging again, then they do not only merge the bodies by a physical act, but they merge a spirit, so they are going to know everything about each other. Then there is no more separation, as we were talking previously. It's the bliss of being one, keeping your individuality. You still keep your individuality, but you are merged in the same energy field, the same aura. It's two consciousnesses as one. And this opens portals. When they do that, they can willingly welcome a life. So I don't know about all the humanoid species, but I know well about the Ahel species, which are the humans from the star system Taygeta in the Pleiades. They have three different ways of making love when they are twin flames, okay? So, well, if they are not twin flames, they can just they have the pleasure of the flesh. They make love for the pleasure, and they love that. And then when they are twin flame, they can pass to the second level, which is a pleasure that goes...
Is that the Dom Dorhu? Is that Dom Dorhu?
Dom Dorhu is a meditation. It's something different that can be done out of the link of love. But if they do that, when they make love, it activates a power plant of energy. It's basically the merging of the two spines of two individuals, the two spines with all the chakras, merging as one and twirling like the two coils of a DNA, and that creates a vortex that creates, in fact, a toroid field. And that is a fabulous power plant of energy. And that can also open portal. And that's the third layer, the third level that only twin flames can do, open this portal and merge as one. They are totally projected. Their consciousness is totally projected into another dimension. And now I speak about dimension, not density, dimension of consciousness. It's in another place, a parallel dimension, which is very high. I don't know where it is. I can't explain about that, but that's what I know. So I hope it answers the question.
That is fascinating. So the three are sexual, physical connection. The second is what?
Like tantric, pleasure at an energy level. At etheric and energy level, but it's still pleasure. And the third level is soul connection, soul emergence. It's reached through the orgasm, and you have this soul. Suddenly, it's a blast, and the two souls melt in one.
And when I've talked to several people, some Tibetans and different people, they all describe this. They said for them, doesn't have to be at the moment of climax physically, but they said most people will have a fraction of time that they've lost or that they're gone. And they said if you take it to its highest level, it's literally merging with source. What would you say about that?
Yes, time doesn't exist. Where you go, time doesn't exist. It's out of the created universe, out of time. It could be source. It could be source. Yes, I agree.
So cool. And this would be pretty common in fifth dimension as human ability, and we're working towards it in fourth dimension. And some have done it already. You know, some have taken tantra classes in third dimension. So it's very exciting. Thank you for sharing that. Perhaps that union and source itself is what the writer of, did you see that amazing movie called Shapes of Water? Did you ever see that, Elena? About the amphibian?
Oh, yes. How
Remember?
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
It. Oh, my God, yes.
I guessed it right away when I saw the scars of the gills early on. But that writer said in the Shapes of Water, I'll never forget this, said, I'm unable to perceive the shape of you. I find you all around me. Your presence fills my eyes with your love. It humbles my heart, for you are everywhere.
That is beautiful. The feeling, yes. Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? So I'm sure he knew a little bit about it. And Paramahansa Yogananda, who wrote the seminal book, no pun intended for this topic, the seminal book for called Autobiography of a Yogi, which many people, it got them started in spirituality. And I feel that out of all a few of the gurus that I've studied, he is the most pure. I know when he crossed over, his body never even decomposed. So he was asked one day by someone, what is the best affirmation they could use to attract the true twin flame? And his answer was, Divine Mother, bless me that I may choose my life companion according to thy law of perfect soul union.
Yes, yes. So true.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
And isn't it also common until recently? I think recently twin flames have been coming together because we're in a uplifting or ascension process, whatever you want to call it. And hopefully most of us are working really hard on getting through any baggage we're carrying, because that gets exaggerated if you're with your twin flame. So hopefully we will be coming together more in that unification. Would you agree that that's true? Like the twin flames are coming together more?
Yes, and most of the, I would say practically all the humanoid envoys, what I call envoys, the star seeds, are coming by pair with their twin flame, but not together. I mean, one will incarnate and in the 3D, a third density, and one will stay in a higher density, because it's a binome, a working binome, which is excellent. And usually it's the female that incarnates down in a lower density, because females are receptacles. They are receptors, and males are transmitters. So the males will stay in a higher density, and they will send to the female. The female will open and receive the higher density frequencies of the male, that they will be able to anchor in the third density plane to help raise the frequency of this third density plane. So that teamwork is unbreakable. You cannot break a twin flame link. It is something that is unbreakable, absolutely adamantine. It's absolutely unbreakable. So that's very clever to do that, to have done that, because you can torture the being on the ground, you will never manage to break the link. You can kill it, it will go back to his twin flame. I mean, it's impossible to kill. It's unhackable. So that's what happening a lot.
That is exactly was my last question for you. and I agree with you. I mean, who knows if it's true, but, you know, I was when I came in, people would ask me, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm not here to breed. And I don't think my true mate is even here. So I'm here to do my work. And then someone joked and said, yeah, with your twin mate is like in some other universe somewhere. But I think part of the point, too, is isn't the whole goal is maximum evolutionary growth? So isn't one of the reasons for us dividing is like, okay, you go out and explore. I'll go out and explore. We'll learn as much as we can, and we'll share that, and that's available to the entire oneness.
Yes, I will. I may remind what we were talking about of what Thorhan told me about when I miss my cat. Love is the missing link. We came here to do a job, and we took the challenge to be separate from our twin flame for a short period of time. It's a time is shorter when you're out of here. So we need to remember that. We are not here to complain. Oh, I'm missing my twin flame. You know, no. Stop that. It's like me missing my cat. It's like me missing my cat. Twist it around. Mm-hmm. Embrace the love that binds you, wherever he or she is. Embrace that adamantine, formidable channel, that link, and receive your partner's love in you. Be this receptacle and share it, radiate it around you. That's how it has to be. Embrace the love that binds you. That's what I would reply to that.
That is beautiful. And I remember, because I actually have watched all your shows so far, which is almost a full-time job, I got to tell you. You are so prolific. Whoa. But Thorsten also gave a beautiful definition of love. It said, you do not give and receive love. You share love.
Yeah.
Love is a resonance with each other. Love is the web of the universe. And love is what we are made of and the reasons we make sacrifices. Of course, he's speaking as a warrior. And also, just you speak of atom and time, and those are particles. And do you want to just do a brief definition for people of what that is? Because they won't know what atom and time particles are, I don't think.
Well, to me, atom and time is something that is so bound together that it is can't separate the atoms from each other. It's the most solid state of I wouldn't say matter. It's the most solid state of particles. They are like stuck together forever. Like they
like
can't
God,
move anything.
I call them God particle.
Yes.
Or source particle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they often
yes.
appear, do they appear kind of golden to you? Kind of have a golden energy or no?
It's like, to me, I visualize them like golden sparkles. Yes, like golden dust.
Yeah.
Shimmering golden dust. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Okay, so this is so much fun. And I'm sorry, people, again, for the confusion I created around density. And I know that Sasha was referring to densities, and thank you for clarifying that. And Elena, would you like to share about your two bestsellers, where people can go for anyone who's new, and your interviews and your great workshops, and you also have journeys for people and everything. Where can they go to get that?
So thank you, Mary Lee. My two books, the first, A Gift from the Stars, contains the story of my alien abduction and all the races, the repertoire of all the races that interact with Earth, A Gift from the Stars. You can find this on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. The second book that was published recently and that follows the first one, We Will Never Let You Down. We Will Never Let You Down. It's my encounters with Val Thor and my peregrination in the star system. Cool adventures. Same on Amazon as well. I have a website where all the links to my books are centered, elenadanan.org, very easy. And my YouTube channel, follow me, Elena Danan, because I have plenty of cool videos and Q&As and updates, and it's great fun.
It is great fun. Your music, your singing, your your dancing. You're such a Palladian, my gosh. You're barely disguised, honey. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. And folks, if you have a specific question that you would like answered by Lena, you can email me at Merrily, which is Merrily, at supersoulsolutions.com. And if you need my website, it's supersoulsolutions.com. And all shows will take me about 4 to 5 days to get all the pictures onto a YouTube channel. And I will have one there of Sasha in her Palladian self as well. And I will include the picture of the Dom Dorhu with Thorhan and Elena, the spiritual practice, energetic practice that Elena drew. So you'll get a sense of that too. And as a small expression of gratitude, I'm offering discounts for 1 to 3 hour private online Q&A sessions with me on a variety of subjects of your choosing. And you can sign up at supersoulsolutions.com by clicking on the banner topic that says Supersoul Q&A 2 weeks. When Elena and I will be back to share the next three or to discuss and the next three principal relationship dynamics that differentiate the third density from the fourth to fifth density, especially having to do with relationships, sex, and intimacy. And thank you, Elena, for being so willing to always share your insights with so much heartfelt feeling and love, as only a Palladian can do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Lee, for facilitating such funny and fascinating moments. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. So until then, friends, onward and upward. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.